It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Appreciate everybody checking us out here on a Saturday morning. The legend Doc Walker coming up at 12 noon. We're going to continue our conversation right now, though, about the Commanders' Monday night football game on the road from Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio, against the 0-2 Bengals. And Bengals are trying to get back on track after yet another 0-2 start. They've had an 0-2 start in five of the last six seasons. And since 2020 in the National Football League, only 6% of teams that start 0-2 have gotten into the playoffs. The playoffs, that's an expectation for Cincinnati and Joe Burrow this season. For Washington, they're coming off of a win, which they squeaked out against the Giants 21-18 with seven field goals and zero touchdowns, right? That's the story everyone's running with. I'll tell you, you're talking about an offense that ran for 200-plus yards, 400-plus yards as a team, and did not punt. And if they start converting in the red zone, you're going to see from 21 points per game all the way jumping up to 28 or 30. And I think that's what it might take against the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football. Playing in prime time has not been something Washington has been good at, but Dan Quinn came in here to change the culture with his statement motto, anybody, anywhere, anytime. We'll see how that plays out on Monday Night Football. But I've been very positive about what I've seen from Terry McLaurin. I feel like I trust this coaching staff to clean things up defensively, but Cincinnati has not looked good through 2 weeks of the season. To find out more on the Cincinnati Bengals, this week on AWOD Radio, as I do this every week on my show in Richmond, you can check out on the free Odyssey app or search the podcast AWOD Radio, Spotify, or iTunes. Every week, to find out about the competition, we go on a mission behind enemy lines.
All right, AWOD Army members, it's time to go on a mission. A secret mission behind enemy lines. We scout out the opponent, break down the competition with intel and reporting from the inside. How is the competition planning to stop the Washington Commanders' offense? As we go behind enemy lines.
So this week, the enemy, the Cincinnati Bengals, and I had Cincinnati sports radio host Mo Egger on the show, and he told me, look, Joe Burrow is not 100% healthy. We'll start right there, but he's healthy enough to play. Cincinnati feels like an 80% Joe Burrow gives them a chance to win every single week. Now, they don't like how he's been shy throwing the deep ball two games into the season, so I feel like all the Commanders fans here, all the haters have been saying, oh, we'll just assume that Ja'Marr Chase will burn us deep because we've got a weak secondary. That hasn't been part of their game yet this season. Joe Burrow has played poorly. He's not 100%. He hasn't looked comfortable. Most of the passes they completed were sideways, especially in the first half against the Chiefs. It was not very many passes past the line of scrimmage. Then he had a really bad turnover that cost them the game. I asked Mo Egger, I said, look, I thought it was quite out stupid that the Cincinnati Bengals let Joe Mixon go this offseason here, because, man, has he been good for the Houston Texans. And now all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud and the Texans look like bigger contenders in the AFC than the Bengals. But he tried to convince me that Joe Mixon was let go because he had a league-low explosive plays the last 3 years for the Bengals. So he might have had a lot of rushing yards, but didn't have the 20-yard run, the explosive plays. And the Bengals front office believes Zach Moss's ability to catch makes him the better fit there for their offense. I would disagree, but Zach Moss is catching the ball out of the backfield is certainly something to keep an eye on this Monday night when the Commanders face off against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. If you're able to rush Joe Burrow, get him off of his spot, cannot let him check down to Zach Moss and that turn into an explosive play. If you talk about some of the weaknesses and injuries for Cincinnati, he pointed to the defensive tackle spot. They are beat up at that spot and have not played well against the run. Last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, the Bengals lost two of their starting left tackles to injury. Then they both did not practice on Thursday when I did my interview with Mo Egger behind enemy lines. Look, this is a Bengals team that has a track record of starting season slow. He pointed to this year's offseason issues with Jamar Chase contract and Burrow's injury that has led to the slow start this season. But the positives for Bengals fans, look, this is a team last week against Kansas City. Obviously, we all saw the end of the game. They should have won if it wasn't for that pass interference penalty. I think it's a good call. Patrick Mahomes gave his wide receiver a shot. The Bengals player got there early. But if you watch the first half, the Bengals scored on four of their opening five possessions against Kansas City. They moved the ball right down the field. They put points on the board, right? And that is something that's going to be paramount for Washington Monday Night Football to get off to a good start and to not find themselves behind early in this game here. But in the first quarter, they drove down the field, 10 plays, 66 yards, got an Evan McPherson field goal. Then they got a Joe Burrow touchdown pass. Then another field goal, and then another field goal. Kansas City only had two good drives, and they put 10 points on the board. And so Cincinnati, who had four great drives to start the game here, only led by six. Why? Because the Chiefs forced them to kick field goals. The red zone has become so huge in the National Football League. You have defenses focusing on stopping in the red zone. Dan Quinn, when I was at training camp, their biggest focus was trying to score when they got into the red zone. Red zone's going to be huge, but that was something to monitor, right? Because the Chiefs could not stop Joe Burrow in the first half, but they did this bend but don't break. And then the second half, a few plays went their way. They got the turnover, and they got the win 26-25. If you want to talk about some more bright spots for Cincinnati this year, it has been tight end. Obviously, they haven't had T. Higgins. I think he's going to play Monday. Jamar Chase hasn't been as explosive, but Mike Gesicki was awesome. He's a veteran now in the league. Gesicki had seven catches for 91 yards. He's been really good. He's 28 now, so he's a veteran. He knows how to get open against zones. Now, he did have a calf injury that limited him in practice, but all the reports are he'll be ready to go by Sunday. I asked Mo Egger, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals for ESPN in Cincinnati, about Zach Taylor, right? The head coach for the Bengals, and he's not a big name. He's not a sexy name, but he's done a really good job there, and what his biggest strength is he's a player's coach, and he works great with a quarterback. And you have to give him credit that a lot of quarterbacks have come in this league and struggled. But Joe Burrow took off, hit the ground running, right? As soon as he was healthy, boom, all of a sudden the Bengals have been Super Bowl contenders. Zach Taylor deserves a lot of credit for that. He'll be studying. He runs the offense. He calls the plays. He'll be studying Joe Witt's defense all week long to try to find some weaknesses on the Commanders' defense. But what's the biggest weakness for the Cincinnati Bengals? Let's go behind enemy lines and listen to Mo Egger from Cincinnati Sports Radio on their biggest weakness coming into week three.
I think the weakness of the team top to bottom, though, is what we just talked about. It's the run defense. You know, this team's defense last season was atrocious across the board. Worst in the NFL in explosive plays given up. They basically had one pass rusher in Trey Hendrickson and then nobody else. And they were last in the NFL in yards allowed per carry. I think the big plays will be rectified. I think they're actually going to be pretty good in the secondary. I don't know if they have anybody else who could rush besides Trey Hendrickson. Nobody has really gotten to the quarterback beyond him. I think this team's going to be really bad against the ground. They were awful in week one against the Patriots at 14 missed tackles on top of just however they were being beaten up at the point of attack. And they weren't very good last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the thing is, we knew going into the season that this was not going to be a very good run defense. They took two defensive tackles on the second day of the draft. Neither has been able to play because of injury. They signed Sheldon Rankins in free agency. He's already got a hamstring issue. B.J. Hill's got a hamstring issue. And D.J. Reader, who had been here the previous 3 years, he's not here anymore. He's with the Detroit Lions. And so I think if there's a major, major weakness on the team, it's that. They're not good against the run, and so what I'm interested on Monday night is, can the Washington Commanders take advantage?
Can Washington take advantage of the biggest weakness of the Cincinnati Bengals being their ability to stop the run? It just happens to be the biggest strength of the 2024 Washington Commanders. We'll take your phone calls next, 1-800-636-1067. Still to come, my keys to victory, AWOD's picks of the week for the NFL, and more. You're listening to the new DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. I hope you enjoyed Behind Enemy Lines on AWOD Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Use the app today to search 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday in Richmond talking all things Commanders and more from 12 to 3 p.m. Every week we go behind enemy lines, find out what the opposition sports radio hosts feel about their team. And Max, you were just telling me you loved that segment there as we heard from Mo Egger, Bengals reporter.
Yeah, man. This rushing defense that I'm hearing about for the Bengals has got me looking at some rushing overs, and I might have to pull the trigger. We'll see.
I did find it really interesting now, you know, when you think back about it, how this Bengals team here, they expect it to be in the playoffs this season. The offseason was so messy, right? It really was. It felt like everybody was talking about Ja'Marr Chase. Felt like everybody had a meme of Joe Burrow, like, you know, picking up a water bottle, or there was all this talk about, is he going to be rusty this season? And they've started slow, and they have a track record of starting slow. Now, they were able to score in the first four or five possessions against the Chiefs, so they started moving the ball offensively. It's going to be up to Washington to take advantage defensively of the fact here that this is a Bengals team that's beat up at the defensive line. Can Washington take advantage of Cincinnati's weak defensive line? If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. So, Max, there's all this talk, right? We've taken all the calls about get Terry McLaurin more involved, right? I mean, all week long, people called into 106.7 and were asking, either saying Terry McLaurin's overrated, he's number one, or they were blaming Jaden and Cliff for not getting Terry more involved. And then you had the callers that said, throw the ball more downfield. We got to take some deep shots here. Can we have a receiver lead us in targets and yards and not Austin Eckler or Brian Robinson? There's been all this talk. Well, I'm not sure this is the game that those things get corrected, right? I have a feeling, after hearing from Bengals reporter Mo Egger, the Commanders' game plan will be similar to last week against the Giants. They're going to ground and pound. It might even be more runs this Monday night, because if you remember, they started with a lot of screen passes last week. I think they are going to try to control the line of scrimmage, control the time of possession, use B-Rob and Eckler as this two-horse back here. One can run through the middle, one can run outside of the tackle. Bengals had 14 missed tackles against Ramondre Stevenson. I cannot wait to see Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler eat on Monday Night Football. I think this is going to be a week where you're going to see the Commanders run for a ton of yards. They're going to ground and pound. They're going to try to control that time of possession like they did last week against the Giants. Let's go out to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Kelvin in Clinton. What's up, Kelvin?
Hey, how's it going, Wild Man? Long time.
Appreciate you calling, man.
Not a problem. I want to say something real quick. The fan base by itself, you know, we have made Daron Payne, we have made John Allen, we have made Terry McLaurin, we have made these players better than what they are. Okay. Our tackles, Daron Payne and Allen, they are average at best. Okay. McLaurin is average at best. These players have been practicing against bum ass players for the past 4 years, and that's been making them look like superstars in practice. But then when they get out on the football field against other players that are better than them, they don't show up. A lot of people are blaming Daniels on McLaurin. They're blaming the offensive coordinator on McLaurin. I watched the game, man, and I'm watching Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin is actually lazy. He does a lot of walking around. He doesn't block. Okay, he's a straight line runner. And he can't separate. Okay. And he get into battles with these cornerbacks when he should be trying to run his route. Basically, the Commanders are just like the Washington Wizards with Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal was the best thing on the Washington Wizards. So they turned him into a $200 million basketball player, which we all know Bradley Beal ain't no damn $200 million basketball player. He's not a great two guard. All right, and that's the position that the Commanders are in now. And these three players that I just mentioned, we got to try to find a way to either one, get them to feed into what we're doing, or two, get rid of them. Find out who's the best between Allen and Payne, and get rid of the other one, and get some more help in here. Somebody that can get to the quarterback, a tackle that can get to the quarterback. You go with the kid at Kansas City, Jones. That right there, that's what you call a tackle.
Yeah.
The kid that resigned from the Rams.
Aaron Donald. No, Kelvin, look, I get what you're saying, man. I appreciate the call and the support, and I think you're certainly on to something, the fact that we've done this for years. I've done this for years, thinking the talent that plays for my team is better than it actually is, thinking that my guys are more talented, closer than superstars than they actually are. I would argue, though, that Jonathan Allen has earned his contracts that he's made in the NFL, and that guy is such an extreme professional. Anytime you hear him talk and do interviews, I know he's beat up by the fact that he hasn't shown up much in the first 2 weeks, and I do think it really has to do with the amount of double teams they're facing, and the fact that other teams are saying, Dorrance who? Cleland who? You're not going to sack our quarterback. Sure, have your one-on-one. The Giants, you said you watched the film. I watched the film, too. The Giants double-teamed Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen almost every time they ran the ball. And there was not enough help from Bobby Wagner. There was not enough help from Frankie Louvu and Jeremy Chinn as well getting up there in the box. He missed a few tackles. As for Terry McLaurin, I talked about it earlier. He did look lazy on a few routes when I watched the film. There was the play where Jaden looked to his right, faked it, and looked back to his left, and Terry was walking. And it pissed me off. But I guarantee you that it pissed off Terry McLaurin, too, when he was called out about that watching the film. And I think he will respond on Monday. We'll find out. Look, if I'm wrong again on Terry McLaurin, then fine. I'll stop saying he's a number one wide receiver. All right? But I believe that these guys will respond, as they have not been playing well, but also the other teams around the league, they know that those are our stars, they know that those are our playmakers, and they know to game plan to take them out. To take them out. And they have been. And so, look, Terry's not been good. He's not been good enough. He's not been a number one wide receiver in the first two games, right? I'll be the first to admit that. Malik Nabers put on a show while Terry McLaurin was catching screen passes for 2 yards. It was very obvious who the better wide receiver was on the field. But I think I'm not giving up on Terry McLaurin. That's what I'll say. I do think that this fan base thinks he's probably more talented than he is, right? You go back to when he was drafted in the NFL. But I still believe that Terry will make some plays. I think he's got his strengths. He's not the greatest route runner. He's not the fastest guy in the world. He has this, like, deep thing in him where he can make the big catch. He can make the 50-50 ball go his way. I'm not giving up on Terry McLaurin just yet. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. So I got to give out my keys to victory and then, of course, AWOD's picks throughout the entire National Football League. It's a Monday Night Football game against the Cincinnati Bengals. There are two Monday Night Football games typical. The NFL deciding to screw over the Commanders fan base. Everyone around the globe will be watching the Bills against the Jags, and then if that game's a stinker, oh, fine, we'll turn into the Commanders game. Commanders Cincinnati's number one in my mind and in my heart. I'll give you my keys to victory when we return. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. And always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Use it today to rewind back to 9 a.m. Start your morning off right with AWOD Radio. You can skip through the commercials with the free Odyssey app. Can Washington take advantage of Cincinnati's weak defensive line? They were just, my goodness, did Ramondre Stevenson control the game for the Patriots against the Bengals week one? Pacheco had some good runs until he got hurt week two. And the Bengals offense had 4 out of their first 5 possessions turn into scores, but their Chiefs limited them to field goals, and that's how they were able to come back and win the game. And I'll tell you guys right now, I love when a team gives us bulletin board material, right? You gotta love when you get extra juice in the locker room to focus in on a game and execute a game plan. Last week, the bulletin board material from the Giants was Kayvon Thibodeau in an interview calling the Commanders a conference foe, not a divisional rivalry. What an idiot. Commanders get the win over Thibodeau and his Giants. This week, Max, this week, we battle for Cliff Kingsbury.
That's right.
We battle for Cliff this Monday. Nobody, in my mind, has faced more haters since being hired as the offense coordinator than Cliff Kingsbury. It's like all offseason, you had teams around the league grabbing offensive coordinator, and everybody hyped their new guy up, and then they talked about Cliff, and they said, oh, no, his offense doesn't adjust. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work. He failed at Arizona. He doesn't move his receivers around enough. Oh, he loves the air raid offense. He won't run the ball effectively. It's not going to work. He's going to fail with Washington. He's going to ruin Jay Daniels. Felt like I heard that all offseason. Where are the haters now, 2 weeks in, after 215 yards on the ground last week? And now this from a Bengals player. Bengals cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt broke down the Commanders' offense when he said, quote, Jay Daniels, they don't make him do a lot. They keep it really for him, simple for him. Nice college offense. Kingsbury's the OC. Nice college offense. That's what he had to say about Washington's offense. We battle for Cliff. Believe me, I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to have an epic game plan lined up for Monday Night Football. I hate to disappoint you guys, but I don't think it's going to be a lot of Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown in the passing game. I think they're going to ground and pound. Let's get to AWOD's keys to victory here on The Fan. So Monday Night Football on the road, tough environment, Cincinnati. Look, that Bengals fan base there, they're going to show up. They're going to be loud. It's going to be a tough environment for Jaden Daniels, who talked all offseason about the tough environments that he faced while at LSU playing college football in the SEC. Well, Joe Burrow faced the exact same thing when he was the quarterback also at LSU. It's a battle of two quarterbacks that were taken in the top 2 picks of the draft, and both of them went to LSU. It's a Bengals team that's trying to get back on track, a Washington team that was really able to run the ball but was not successful at all in the red zone. Those are obviously going to be huge factors, but let's get to my keys to victory. The first key is your car key. You got to get in the car and drive. Well, the only way that you can drive to win this game here, I'm going to say it's a halftime lead, Max. I really believe that if Washington's going to win against the Bengals, we talked about the fast start they had last week against the Chiefs. Washington against the Giants was able to move the ball but not get into the end of the end zone. I think the absolute first key is to play with a lead. Then you can run the ball more, your defense can blitz, and so the first key to victory is a halftime lead for your Washington Commanders. I've asked this team to start fast this year because that was the most frustrating thing of Ron Rivera's tenure here in D.C. Better start week two against the Giants, not a good start week one against the Bucks. A fast start and a halftime lead is your first key to victory. Then you go to your house key here. How do you win when you're not at home? Well, you need your stars to show up, right? And I think everybody's talked about Terry McLaurin and Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. That's very true. The stars on this team need to play better. But there's also a star power at quarterback in Jane Daniels and his ability to run. So my second key to victory is I need 40-plus yards on the ground from Jane Daniels. We're going to run with B-Rob. We're going to run with Eckler. Eventually, they're going to do an RPO and have Jaden fake it and run it himself and take off down the sidelines. Look, his legs are his secret weapon. He's got to take that to it and make it his advantage on the road against the Bengals on Monday Night Football. We need our star in Jane Daniels to use his star power, which I believe is running. So, of course, we don't want him to take big hits. He'll find a way to scramble around on some passing plays. But on some of these designed runs, I need Cliff Kingsbury to really scheme it up so that the Bengals are focusing in on B-Rob, and that's when you hit him with Jaden around the corner. Your third key to victory here is your key to your safe, right? That's where you keep all the cash. If you want to win the game, you got to get the cash. You got to have your key to your safe. And I've talked about this the first 2 weeks, and I'm going to have it continue as my third key to victory. Week one, we accomplished zero of the three keys to victory. Last week, we got one key, and we won by one possession score, right? Final key, win the turnover battle. Final key, win the turnover battle. I really think that's how you win on the road in the NFL. It's going to be a tough matchup against the Bengals. They're trying to avoid a humiliating 0-3 start to the season. It would absolutely put Coach Zach Taylor in the hot seat. And so they're going to bring it all. We've got to force a turnover. We've got to have Joe Burrow cough it up or hit the ball out of Zach Moss's hands or Jamar Chase or Mike Gesicki. I really think that Benjamin St. Juice has proven that he can do the peanut punch. He's done it several times. I think back to the game against the Eagles. I think Quez Watkins made a big catch down the field. St. Juice got up and smacked the ball out of him with a punch. He did that again last week against Singletary. That is such a huge play, especially because we know that Benjamin St. Juice isn't the best cover corner in the National Football League. If he can make up for some of the passes he's given up with causing a turnover, that's absolutely going to be huge for the rest of this season. Win the turnover battle. That's what Dan Quinn did in Dallas. That's why he got this job here. All right. It's not like their defense was leading the league in points given up. They were leading the league in turnovers, and that's why they had so much success until the postseason. They've got to win the turnover battle, your third key to victory. The pathway to success for Washington, I think it really comes down to running the football successfully here. I don't think this is going to be a game where we're going to get anywhere near the same numbers we got last week, right? Yes, the Bengals' defensive line is beat up, and I would say the Giants' defensive line is much better. But you're not going to get 215 yards on the ground again. But I think you could get more than 5 yards per carry. Last week, 6.1 yards per carry. I mean, that's fantastic in the NFL. You want to get above 4 yards per carry so you can keep moving the sticks. I think they can get to 5 yards per carry. That's part of the pathway to success here against the Bengals. You've got to move Joe Burrow off of his spot. Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen absolutely need to play better, but I'm going to point to Dorrance Armstrong as the guy that I'm waiting to step up, right? He had the stats last year with the Cowboys, and he wasn't even an every-down player. He needs to step up and get into the backfield, force Joe Burrow off of his spot, get some sacks, get some tackles for losses here. I think you got to start fast in this game. You got to be able to run the ball. Use that to set up the play action through the middle or down the field. Jaden's got to be a star, right? Washington doesn't win this game if Joe Burrow is fantastic and Jaden Daniels is just average. He's going to have to be a star. We heard from a caller. I feel the same way. Jaden, when he runs, he gives us the ability to win games that other quarterbacks would just not, right? His ability, 3rd and 14, I want to say, other than Patrick Mahomes, it's like 90% of the league there does a check down and then punch the ball. Jaden picked it up with his legs. I don't want him to do that all the time, you know, once, maybe twice a game. But, man, if you can move the chains, you've seen in the NFL how successful Jalen Hurts can be at that. Sometimes it's simply a 3rd and 4, and you have a quick play to hit it to Terry McLaurin. Boom, he's covered, right? The defense locked that in. So then Jaden just runs around the corner and just simply picks up 5 yards, gets out of bounds, doesn't take a hit, but moves the chains. Got to move the chains, control the line of scrimmage, control the time of possession. And I believe the Commanders can win this game. I will be very interested to see if we're just competitive in all three phases, right? Special teams, I think we got to give the long snappers some credit. We're giving Austin Seibert all the credit for 7 for 7. Last year, if that was Cameron Cheeseman, we would not have won that game. One of those snaps would have been off. I really feel strongly about that. Control the line of scrimmage, play well, special teams, defense, get some kind of a game-changing play, whether that's a couple sacks or a turnover, and then offensively, use your running attack, let Jaden be a star, and make a few big plays. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. We got one final segment left on AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, it is 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Final segment here on a Saturday morning before I hand it off to Super Bowl champion, the legend, Doc Walker, who will be with you as you ride through the DMV for the next 3 hours. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. I just gave out my keys to victory for the Commanders against the Cincinnati Bengals. We had a caller during the break there that dropped off, and Max, he was just saying, this is kind of a fork in the road game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a fork in the road. Like, this is going to be kind of the deciding, like, if we're going to be a good football team this year. It's, I can definitely see his point, because this is, you know, if they can make a game plan against a faltering Bengals defensive line and just run the rock, I think they can have success on Monday, but we'll see.
I really think this is a crucial part of the season here. It's 2 straight road games at Cincinnati, then quick turnaround to at Arizona. You got to win that game. I mean, these are 2 big games for Cliff Kingsbury, right? I was already circling the Arizona game as a revenge game for Cliff. Now you got a Bengals cornerback sounding off against Cliff. I mean, my goodness, Cliff, you better have a good game plan for this Monday. So it's Bengals on the road, Cardinals on the road. You return home to face the Browns, and then at the Baltimore Ravens. That's a crucial, crucial 4-game stretch here for the Washington Commanders. Hopefully they can stay at 500 or better. Let's go out to the phone lines here. 1-800-636-1067. Kelly in Hyattsville, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
AWOD, bringing it as usual.
Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, no problem, man. Hey, keys to the game. Between 30 and 40 rushes and no turnovers. That keeps us in the game for the fourth quarter. And I look at the, you know, this game and next week's game against Arizona as kind of, identity games. Like, you know, first 4 weeks trying to establish identity, and we're going to see, well, what's our identity going to be, you know, after these next 2 games. But I think that they gave you a hint of it last week with the running, and that each week you're going to see a little bit more of the offense unveiled for Jaden to be able to take advantage of. So,
Kelly,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. So I'm with you about running the ball. B-Rob's been so good, but Eckler too. Like, how do they get Eckler more involved in the running game?
Yeah, I think Eckler, you know, runs, like, sweeps and things like that. But also in between the tackles, because he's so shifty.
Yeah.
But I think the running game, you know, the short passing game is almost an extension of the running game for him. So, but he's got to touch the ball 10, 15 times a game, honestly, because he's that dangerous to me. He looks great.
Yeah.
So, so we'll see. But it's going to be a great test. I hope they win. They got to play a great game to win, but it's going to be a good test of the character of the team.
Yeah, no, good call, man. Appreciate you chiming in. I do think you're right that the short throws are an extension of the running game. And so I feel like they've had success to Eckler on these drop-offs on third down, right? I mean, it's third and long. Just give it to Eckler. They did that against the Giants. He made a guy miss and almost picked up the first down. But maybe on, like, first and 10, they do a play-action pass, you know, have everybody go deep and then just have Eckler there as the check-down guy. But make him the first read for Jayden Daniels and just get it to Eckler quickly and see if he can make a guy miss while guys are downfield and the defense is kind of exposed that way. There's got to be some more creative ways that Kliff can get Eckler involved, like the way they threw it back to him with the defense moving the wrong way last week. That was just such an incredible call there, and it worked out perfectly to an explosive play for the Washington Commanders. Max, anything else you wanted to add there to the keys to victory for Monday Night Football?
My biggest key to victory is run the rock. That is it.
I'm totally okay with Terry McLaurin having under 30 yards if we're able to run for over 200, right?
Yeah, if we can replicate last week, I'll be over the moon.
I don't think this is going to be the week, based off of Cincinnati's weaknesses, that Jayden throws for 300 yards. I think that's coming down the line as they slowly start working in more deep shots for him in the game plan. But I think this is another control the line of scrimmage, control the time of possession, run the rock type game. As we go throughout college football and the NFL with AWOD's locks of the week. So quickly with college football here, I will mention Michigan and Oklahoma are the two most bet upsets right now. Michigan plus 170, Oklahoma plus 225. I'm going against the tickets, all right? I like the home dogs there. I mean, I like the favorites in those two matchups there. So I will lock in USC moneyline over Michigan, parlayed with Tennessee moneyline over Oklahoma. Over to the National Football League, I've got a, what would you call it? I guess a bet off between Michael Phillips and myself. Max, he's the other host here on 910 The Fan in Richmond. And so we put three games on the board, and we all went opposite. We each went opposite on these three games. So I'm also going to lock this in as a parlay because I feel pretty good about it. It starts with Chiefs at Falcons. I know everybody liked what you saw from Kirk Cousins there on the final drive of the game, but the 3.5 quarters I watched, Bijan looked good running the ball, and that's about it. Kirk Cousins did not look good until that final drive. The Eagles' pass rush also didn't get to him, so he had all day. He should have had more completions down the field. I just see the Super Bowl champions going into Mercedes-Benz and whooping up on the Atlanta Falcons. Give me the Chiefs' money line Sunday Night Football. Eagles-Saints is a very interesting game here. Eagles trying to respond from that tough loss here. The Saints have scored 91 points in the first two games. They're at home, the Superdome. Kamara's spectacular there. Rashid Shaheed, their deep shot weapon guy. Derek Carr's been really good this season. He's more comfortable in the offense this year. Clint Kubiak deserves a lot of credit. I watched the video. Bill Belichick loves the schemes that Kubiak is running with New Orleans. They win at home against the New Orleans Saints. Against the Eagles. Saints win. And then my third parlay, and Max, we talked about this game. Chargers at Steelers. Justin Herbert, a little beat up with the high ankle sprain. Steelers know how to stop the run. J.K. Dobbins has been unbelievable for the Chargers the first two games until he runs into T.J. Watt and the Steelers defensive line. Give me the Steelers at home to win that game. Those are my three locks of the weekend. Max, I got to tell the audience about my new favorite quarterback in all of college football. Have you heard me talk about this at all?
I'm very curious to see who you name here.
All right. My new favorite quarterback is AWOD. Parker AWOD, the starting quarterback for New Mexico State. I'm not doing a bit. Their starting quarterback is a sophomore from California by the name Parker AWOD. I pulled the clip, and I've been running it on my show. It's like, AWOD, into the end zone, touchdown Aggies. And then he also had a sack fumble, scoop and score, that Liberty returned for a touchdown and New Mexico State lost. So last week, primetime, 10:30, I watched New Mexico State get blown out by Fresno State, 48-0. My guy AWOD had two turnovers and was benched. But Tony Sanchez, the head coach for New Mexico State, told the media that Parker AWOD is back in the lineup to be the team's starting quarterback. 7 p.m., they take on Sam Houston. If you get a chance, check out my guy AWOD and New Mexico State. Is that the coolest bit ever, Max?
It's a so great funny. Bit. I love it.
You got to love Parker Awad. I'll be rooting for him this Saturday. So a couple other college games I should mention that are going on today that I think are going to be really good. Obviously, I told you I like USC against Michigan. I'm interested to see UCLA against LSU. That line is fishy. I don't think LSU has shown to be a team that can cover 21 points in this game, so I probably will sprinkle a little bit on UCLA plus 21. I'm a big ACC fan, so I'll be watching Georgia Tech against Louisville, 3:30 p.m. I've got to see if Florida State can finally win a game when they host Cal. And then, of course, I'll be checking out Arch Manning. It's ESPN Plus. For some reason, they didn't care about it. He's a Manning. Number one, Texas, against UL Monroe. All right, that's not a good team, but they're 2-0. But this is the first start of young Arch Manning's career with Quinn Ewers out with an oblique injury. I wonder if Arch Manning can play really good if they decide to hold Quinn for a couple more weeks. It's going to be interesting. But like I said, I think college football has been really good this season, and it's going to get really even more interesting when you get to later November and those brackets start coming out of the top 12 teams that make it into the 2024 college football playoffs. Appreciate everybody listening to the show today. Max, always incredible running the ones and twos. Had a lot of really good callers. Appreciate the support. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, simply search 910 The Fan, and you can hear me in Richmond, Virginia, Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. Talking all things Commanders with a focus on college sports in the state of Virginia as well. This is the sports season for sports fans. You got college football heating up. The NFL is getting going. Caps, Wizards, right around the corner. College basketball is returning soon, and we get October baseball in just 10 days. I'll be back here every Saturday throughout the rest of the year. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. It's Doc Walker coming up next on The Fan.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.